Thank you. My name is Turin. You are in the session Leading with the Full Spirit and a Healthy Soul with Armando Palazzo. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Awesome. Welcome, everybody. Let's dive in because I have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys want to learn how we can lead with a full spirit and a healthy soul. Just take a moment. Let's really unpack this because I think this is going to be an opportunity for us to take a deep dive into the soul. That's really what prayer is about. It's about connecting with God in a much deeper way. And a lot of times we just kind of stay on the surface, especially as pastors and ministry leaders. You know, we chat a lot about, we preach a lot about this idea about getting to that healthy place with God, that place of that secret place. But yet so many of us don't do it ourselves. The stats are staggering. Pastors, ministry leaders dealing with depression and anxiety is off the charts. We don't often feel like we're healthy. A lot of times we feel like we are the most unhealthy people. I'm also a mental health counselor, and I've worked with pastors and ministry leaders since 2006. And I would tell you, we are probably the most unhealthy group by and large. And we refer a lot of our church people to counseling. And then when the pastor and the leaders finally come in, I'm like, wow, a lot of times we're more jacked up than the people we serve. So let's just take a moment, and I just want you guys to reflect. Ask yourself a really deep question. Am I where God wants me to be? Am I where Jesus wants me to be in my health? And then I'd like you to identify what is one area about me that I would like to change. So take a moment and do that, because a lot of things get in the way of our health as pastors and ministry leaders. Time is one, right? I just don't have enough time, and I have way too much to do. Stress gets in the way. Life gets in the way, and people get in the way, right? Ministry wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the people, right? We say that all the time. But I'd be willing to bet that people aren't the issue. I think the issue, honestly, most of the time is us as shepherds, us as leaders, because we don't live in limits very often. And when we don't live in limits, we actually take on a God complex. And you could do that for a season. You could do that for a time. And what ends up happening to us is that we end up crashing and burning. So this idea of leading with a full spirit and a healthy soul becomes very impossible for leaders who live life beyond limits. A question you got to look at is, what does health for you even look like? Like, take a moment, write that down. What does health for you even look like? And what you're doing today, the way you're living your life today, will it sustain you for the next 5 or 10 years in ministry? Just really think about that. Will it sustain you? And I would be willing to bet, if you're honest, most of us would not be sustained in 5 to 10 years where we are at today. I think about Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, and he talked about this living water that he'd be able to give her, that she would never thirst again. And I think about how refreshing that is, because water biblically, symbolically, represents the cleansing power of God. It represents life, rejuvenation. And very often in ministry, we don't feel rejuvenated. We go in Sunday to Sunday completely stressed out. We're already, many of us are dealing with burnout, and we're running on fumes in ministry, and God has so much more for you guys. Again, we feel like the most unhealthy group of people, running on empty. So what is burnout? Let's look at that first. So burnout, you guys can look at this. I'm sorry for you guys on this side. Simply burnout, if we understand it, it's you work until you ruin yourself. Just recognize that. You can do that for a season. You're all strong, capable people, but burnout eventually will catch up to you. And ministry is not a sprint, right? Ministry is a marathon. If this thing is a lifetime calling, it means God wants us to be in it to win it for the long haul. But when we try to live without limits in life, you're never going to lead with a full soul. You're not. You're never going to lead to a place where you're going to be able to see the outcome of that marathon because you've ruined yourself. And it's not God's will that you and I would do that. Let's take a little bit of a self-test here. Burnout. Are you burnt out? There's some questions here. You guys could take a picture of that if you want. You guys can read it. But these are questions. Like, do I feel run down or drained of physical or emotional energy? How many people in ministry never feel drained of emotional energy? Every one of us. Just number, we can stop there, right? And that leads to burnout. I have negative thoughts about about my calling. Do you struggle with fears and anxieties about people? I'm harder, basically on yourself, and less sympathetic with people than perhaps they deserve. I'm easily irritated by small problems or by my coworkers and team. Now, I'm going to have a real conversation with you. My wife is here. I do a really good job filtering all day long. Then I get home, and sometimes there's nothing left. And she'll say to me, and if anybody judges me, right, that's a sin. And you're probably lying to yourself. She'll say to me, how come you don't always talk to me the way you do people at church? How many pastor wives or husbands are beside that, right? And I'm like, you know, because you spend all day trying to put your best foot forward, trying to play the role. When you get home, you just don't want to have to explain things at length. You feel like that other person should know. So, you know, it's some of the leading signs of burnout for you. You have very little margins left in your life. When was the last time you took a day off and really did something that fed your soul? Do you know most pastors don't Sabbath? Like, what is a Sabbath? What's your day off every week where nobody bothers you, no emails, no phone call? Do you guys even have that? Very few of us actually do in ministry. They've done studies on this. Almost no one does. So burnout is completely real. What causes burnout? Let's go to this one. So what causes burnout? Overworked, little control over the work we do, lack of job clarity, highly emotional work. I mean, all of these right now is so ministry true, right? Low support. How many of you have the team the size you want? Nobody, right? Chaotic workplace. Church is never chaotic, right? High workload and long hours. The average person in ministry, specifically lead pastor, works about 70 hours a week. Think about that, right? After doing a message that, if you really pour your heart and soul into it, you've probably spent 8 to 20 hours a week on a message, but then you got hospital visits, leadership, and it just, the list goes on and on, right? Leadership meetings and whatnot. You're under-resourced, underappreciated, relational conflicts. You know, under resource, let's talk about that, right? I mean, you know, 30, 35 years ago, there's a lot of things you didn't have to worry about in ministry. Right now we have digital teams, and you got to understand how to do online church, right? Even 10 years ago, we were a church with an online presence. Today, it's like we're a church, and it's hybrid, and we're both online and in person, and now you're really managing two campuses completely, which the way we do ministry is completely different. Because what's relevant content here, brick and mortar, is not relevant content here in the digital world. So now you're like trying to like cut messages up. And I mean, the amount of work that goes into all of this leads to burnout. Let's go to the next one here. Lifestyle causes of burnout. Lack of socialization. Well, this isn't us, right? We're surrounded by people all the time. That's not real socialization. Being surrounded by people when you're completely on all the time is not healing to your soul. It's draining to your soul. Okay? Lack of relaxation. Where you really get to look. That's what Sabbath is supposed to be. Yeah. Lack of physical activity. You know, a lot of us in ministry, you're in a car, you're in an office, you're sitting down, right? You're not really getting up, going to the gym and doing stuff like that. And who's got time for that, right? A few close relationships. You know, most pastors, when they did a study on this, said that they have like zero close friends. And yet they're surrounded by tons of people. And they're the most loneliest group of people in the United States right now, as pastors, right? Lack of networks to help. You know, a lot of people say, Pastor, can I help you? And it's like, yeah, if you want to write my message, that'd be great. You want to do a hospital visit, that'd be great. And it's hard to give away that which only the pastor can actually do. Now, that's not an excuse not to delegate other things, but you got to know your sweet spots if you want to be healthy as a leader. You got to know what are the few things that only I can do as a pastor, and what can I give to everyone else? Because don't forget what our calling is, right? It's to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Right. So if you're in a church context where you're like, man, I'm doing everything as a pastor, you have control issues. Mm-hmm. And what are you afraid of? Mm-hmm. You got to give it away. A pastor is not meant to do everything. Right. They're meant to preach, to teach, to cast vision, and leadership development for the purposes of one goal in mind, to equip the saints, the church, to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're not going to get overworked if we live in a biblical framework, right? Where are we at here? Poor spiritual habits. Do you know that they did a study on this recently? The average pastor in America spends less than 7 minutes a day in prayer. We spend a lot of time serving Jesus. We don't spend a lot of time being with Jesus. Just think about that. Right? Poor inner language. Pastors, some of us, have cursing problems in our minds and hearts. Right? We don't express our feelings well. We just kind of stuff things. Why? Because there's something next to do. There's someone else to help. And the person you're helping the least, very often in ministry, is yourself. And these are the causes of burnout in your life and mine. Let's go into the next one here. Number six, maybe the most important leadership questions you need to ask yourself today is, what is the condition of your soul? Like, take a moment, really ask yourself this. What's the condition of my soul? What dangerous waters might you be drifting into And are you driving toward goals Jesus never set up for you to complete in your life? I want you guys to turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 37, 39. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the new skins, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. New wine must be poured into new wineskins, right? So what is wine symbolic of in Scripture? Wine is symbolic of joy, of celebration, of abundance, the power and the presence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you and I like new wine. We pray and we believe and we want God to move in powerful ways. So we value the wine, but we devalue the wineskin. The wineskin is the vessel. It's the thing that holds the wine. And what ends up happening here, we see this all the time in our society, pastors that are pastoring or leaders that are leading these growing ministries, growing churches, and it's all fresh wine, growth, and it's just alive and it's moving, and all of a sudden they have an affair. They become suicidal. They just give up. They crash and burn in ministry. Why? Because what they wanted was the wine, but they didn't pay attention to the wineskin. And if you want to live well and finish strong in ministry, and have a full spirit that is healthy, you have to start to value you. And what you got to ask yourself and wonder sometimes is, why do I press so hard? Like, why do you press so hard in ministry? And sometimes we wrap it up with calling. And we're like, well, it's calling, or maybe it's expected, or it's my cross to bear. But many of us are actually driven by unconscious motives. A lot of us don't feel fully accepted by God. And we actually serve Jesus from a place of wanting acceptance. But I'm actually going to challenge you on that. Don't serve Jesus from a place of wanting acceptance. Serve Jesus from a place of acceptance. Because when we wrap up those unconscious motives of, oh, it's a calling, well, God's to blame. He called me to this. Well, it's expected. Well, the people, I got to people please, right? Or, hey, it's my cross to bear. And we end up becoming the victims of ministry. The problem with ministry isn't ministry. It's the wineskins. It's the people who turn a blind eye to themselves, and we spend our lives caring for everyone at the expense of ourselves. And you know, even Jesus didn't do that. We end up having a Jesus complex. You are not their savior. And we get so wrapped up wanting to be the mom and dad spiritually of everyone else, when our focus should not be the mom and dad spiritually to spiritual children. Our goal should be, maybe we just need to be children of Jesus. Maybe I need to work on being a son and you need to work on being a daughter. And together we're saying, hey, you know what? What you really need and what I need, let me bring you to my Father so that you can receive it. Because when he's our source, they're not our source. And we're not their source. Ministry can very easily become mutual manipulation, where I'm going to give to you, I'm going to pour out to you, and then you're going to give me something in return. Many of us do ministry, again, unconscious motives, right? For acceptance, for validation, for affirmation, to be loved. Because I feel bad about who I am, well, I'm just going to serve God really hard so that my daddy can be proud of me. And then we end up selling out in ministry. And I think what we got to recognize is we need to return back to the Father's heart and not looking toward people. So the question is, why do you do ministry? Why do you do it? Like, if you're really thinking about that, take out your notepad and write down that answer that comes to your mind and your heart. Why in the world do I do what it is that I'm called to do? Write that down. Some of our biggest challenges in ministry, yes, it's unconscious motives, but it's also something else I like to call ants. What are ants? Everybody like ants? No. Kill the ants, right? Step on them. It's automatic negative thoughts. Well, what are automatic negative thoughts? It's not really thinking. This is pre-programmed thinking. Every put-down you've ever given yourself in your life, you heard it from someone else first. You see, we feel like we're unloved. We feel like, oh, does God really accept me? I know theologically we know the answer. Cerebrally, we know. But has it gone from your mind down into your heart where you truly feel accepted as a son and daughter? And if you don't, it's because you got ants in your life. These automatic negative thoughts. Every put down, I'm undesirable, I'm not good enough, I'm washed up, I'm used up goods. The people we serve have these. Every negative thing you think about yourself is something you adopted from something someone spoke over you in your life. And if you are critical of self, whose voice is it that you've adopted? The easy answer is the evil one. But sometimes it was a really difficult parent to please. Sometimes it was that kid in the school, the playground. Sometimes it was that relationship that jacked me up before I married the right one. So any negative self-condemning thoughts you have are your ants. automatic negative thoughts. And what does scripture say? Could somebody read this? So what does scripture say, right? Scripture says that we're to take every thought captive. And what does it mean to take captive? I gotta take these negative thoughts that don't line up with the standard. Well, what's the standard?
God's word.
Right? If it doesn't line up, I gotta grab hold of it, I gotta take it captive, and I have to force obedience. Which means I'm gonna kick it out in the name of Jesus, and I'm gonna replace it with a biblical truth. Here's the problem with a lie, it's deceiving, and some of us as leaders are deceived. And you don't know you're deceived because it's deception. And the problem with a lie is you're going to live your life like it's true. So that's why we have to grab every thought that our hearts and our minds tell us, you know what, that doesn't seem like God's voice. It doesn't feel like the scriptures I read. Let me line it up. And if it doesn't measure up, I got to kick it out. Otherwise, I'm never going to lead with a full spirit in my life. You're going to be driven by these automatic thoughts in your mind. And we're unaware very often because, let's be honest, we're constantly running as people. We're incredibly busy, we're preoccupied, and we're, but at the core of it, everything we struggle with starts with a thought. So here's a call to action of something we can start doing, which I think will definitely help you and I to have a full spirit. Let's go to Matthew 11, 28, 30. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, right?
My yoke is easy, and learn from me,
right? Then he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your
soul.
Your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is
light.
So what do we have to do, right? First thing is we have to come to Jesus, which means time. Your life, write this truism down. If you want to be spiritually healthy, your life, your calendar, your agenda has to be literally built around your spiritual self-care. But we don't do that. We build our calendars around the needs of church. We have to not be satisfied doing for Jesus. We need to be satisfied being with Jesus. And the being with Jesus is going to empower us for the doing for Jesus. But when it's backwards, it actually becomes idolatry. And then we start measuring things that make us feel good. How many people showed up to church this Sunday? What was our giving? Now, I'm not saying those are bad metrics to measure. I mean, metrics are important, right? The problem is, what is it? What's its source in your heart, right? What is it doing in your heart? So we got to come to Jesus, and it says, take my yoke. Well, what's a yoke? We all remember, right? It's where two cattle or horses get tied together, usually by wood or ropes. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, which means that there's a leader, and when you take a yoke, you no longer can go in your own direction. Mm-hmm. You have to go in the direction, honestly, of the strongest cattle in that group of two. The strongest. And he says, take my yoke on you, which means Jesus is calling you in a different direction than the direction that you've been going that you think is good in your life. And he says, learn from me. And then when we do that, that's where rest comes from. So the answer is, how do I be with Jesus? We often think prayer. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is a lot more than just talking to God.
Yeah.
Prayer means listening. Mm-hmm. Prayer is time. The problem is, so many of us, we like the talking part of prayer. We don't like the listening part of prayer, right? There's a quote I love. This is the quote. Listen to this. It says, we listen to God as well and as much as we listen to those that we don't agree with. So prayer's cool. I like to talk. I don't like to listen, but the things I like to listen to is when God is telling us new things. Vision, excitement, the future. The problem is when we sit in silence and solitude, it's often actually not what God speaks. He asks you, what's in your soul that you need to give to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's in that moment where Jesus says, will you allow me to go back to that place where you abused when you were a kid, that you haven't been wanting to look at, that's getting in the way of your relationships and your ministry, and let me heal that? And we're like, I don't want to listen anymore. Because what prayer does is it reveals your soul.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be healthy, you got to pray. But you can't just pray by talking. I mean, how many of you would love to be in a relationship with somebody who never shut up? We're afraid of what God's going to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Because while we're so focused on building ministry, God's focused on building you.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't, like, what we bury, what we push under the rug, what we don't deal with, we actually don't give to him to heal.
That's right.
And that's the problem with listening quietly before the Lord. Many of us are just afraid of what he's going to tell us. But you can't be healthy. You can't have a full spirit-led heart unless you learn to sit in that quiet place with Jesus and you learn to listen to him speak to your soul. And there's three practices that have been lost, right? One is writing, thinking, and listening. Now, when we think writing, we think journaling. Some of you are like, I hate journaling. Others are like, I journal all the time. But understand what journaling does. It makes your monologue a dialogue. So that's what it does there. And what it does is it forces you to think. Mm-hmm. So many of you, a lot of the challenges we have, you don't have enough time to think. You're spending all your time doing things, and we're reading other people's books, and then we're crafting knowledge based on what we've read, and it's all recycled thoughts. And then we're like, well, I wish I can be as smart as that person. No, that person wrote a book. But see, that person's not smarter than you, but they discovered one thing you're not doing. That person just made more time than you make. You see, it's in that quiet place with God where we're listening to our soul and we're journaling that the monologue becomes a dialogue, and that allows us to think, and that's the foundation of original thought. Like, that's where original thought happens. It's sitting in that quiet time, that place with God, where we're learning to listen and to be led. And if we're not doing that as shepherds and pastors and leaders in the church, we're actually not allowing God space. We're not inviting him. We're not opening the door for him to deal with us, in us, what he wants to, but yet we're preaching it about it to everyone else. And the greatest threat to us and to our health and to us being spirit-led is really unconscious motives. It's lack of original thought. It's lack of time. And it's your ants, the automatic negative thinking that we have. So what is true success in ministry? It's not numbers. It's not the metrics that are important and we got to look at. Metrics determine health. It's the time you spend in his presence.
That's right.
And I don't mean that as a superficial truth. I mean that as a deep truth that will bring healing to your very soul. That's where it comes from. And you need to focus in on the depth of your ministry. How deep am I going with God? When you focus on the depth of your ministry, his responsibility is the breadth of your ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's where you guys start to see eternity manifesting itself in the here and now, in the present, and in your ministry. And some of us, we say things like, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time to make time. It's an excuse. It's fear-based. You're actually afraid of what God might do in you and through you because we don't want to face things in our lives. So how do we avoid burnout? Let's go here real quick. Let's talk about how to avoid burnout. Prioritize your spiritual life over your ministry. This comes before this. Healthy Sabbath and self-care rhythms. Take micro breaks. I do this a lot often. You ever work, maybe you're writing a message, you're working on things, and you're just like, you're starting to space out, you're starting to like feel frustrated, and you just need time? I often say to myself, I'm going to choose to be kind to myself right now. And I just unplug. You got to be able to unplug. We're constantly moving. There's too much stimuli and noise happening. God is always speaking. You guys realize that, right? The problem is we're not always listening. We're not always listening because we're not in the environment to listen. It's too noisy. Create and follow a schedule built around your spiritual life. And self-care. It's the depth of your ministry. Be kind to yourself. Mind your language and own your thoughts. That's a big one. Because if you're not bringing your inner heart and your life to the Lord, what ends up happening is you're saying, God, I'm just going to focus on the doing of ministry. But man, I'm not really going to let you work deeply in me. Here's another thing I want to give you guys completely free. Take a picture of this. Our team's been working on a mental health assessment for pastors and ministry leaders and pastor spouses for a long time. Take a picture of this, go on, it's completely free. This actually will give you a test in five main areas of your health and well-being. And this will also give you recommendations about what you can do next. So you guys wanna make sure you check that out. Here's some of the staggering statistics of where pastors are at. Do you guys need me to go back to that one? Sorry. So it's, for those on this side, it's ministrywellbeing.org. Ministrywellbeing.org. So here's some troubling statistics. 75% of pastors report being extremely stressed or highly stressed. 90% work between 55 and 75 hours per week. 90% feel fatigued and worn out every day of the week. 80% will not be in ministry 10 years later, and only a fraction make it a lifelong career. Why is this? Because the pace I'm going at today, if I don't change today, it's going to negatively impact you tomorrow. And I think for some of you, hearing a lot of the good workshops you are, don't just feel inspired and walk away. Inspiration lasts until we eat Chick-fil-A at lunch.
Chick-fil-A at lunch.
Make a commitment. God, I'm not well. God, my pace isn't well. Would you give me wisdom and confidence to build a pace that will sustain me for a lifelong calling in ministry? Because if you burn out, what happens to your calling? If you burn out, people in your churches are going to be hurt. The greatest gift you can give your church in ministry is your health. Because you'll be ministering for a place that's anointed, that's anchored in God, right? On average, seminary-trained pastors last only 5 years in church ministry. That's terrible. 100% of 1,050 pastors that were...
5 minutes, Pastor.
Yeah, let's go. I'm going. Had a colleague who left the ministry because of burnout, church conflict, or moral failing.
That's incredible stats.
Yeah, here's the last page on stats here. 70% of pastors say they have lower self-esteem now than when they entered ministry. This is all the put-downs, right? I'll never forget, there was one Sunday. I always laugh at this. It's hilarious. Somebody came up to me some years ago, and they're like, Pastor, that was the deepest message I ever heard in my life. Like, that was amazing. But you preach too deep. No. That's not the funny part. The person, right? So I shake their hand. I'm like, okay, I'll preach later. And then the next person came. And this is what they said. You know, Pastor, message was encouraging, but it wasn't deep enough.
I'll make it deeper.
Deeper for you and not deeper for you, right? So this is why pastors are all jacked up, right? It's like these highs and lows. Everything you do for an audience of?
Wow.
When Mary told Jesus, she said, Son, I want you to turn the water into wine. He said, Woman, it's not my time yet. And then she said, Jesus? And like a good son, he was like, all right, I'll turn the water into wine. And then he healed a bunch of people. And scripture says that people were enamored with him. They were impressed. But then scripture says, but he did not give his heart over to them because he knew what was in the heart of men. Too many pastors and church leaders, you're giving your heart to the wrong people. And the irony is we look to broken people to do for us what they can't do for themselves. Who's your source? That's the person who will maintain your ministry. 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. 90% say that they have not received adequate training to meet the demands of ministry. This was like 100% when COVID struck. Wow. Like, who prepared you for a pandemic? Yeah. Ministry in a pandemic, yeah. Right? I want to encourage you as we wrap up. I think I have, a minute and a half left?
2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who come to Fusion Church, don't get used to this. We've been on time. I want to encourage you guys. God has so much more for you guys than just what you're doing today.
Amen.
This is a surface. I want to encourage you, get home, get into your quiet place with God, and ask the Lord, God, would you give me wisdom on what does a healthy ministry schedule look like for me? What does it look like for my wife and my children or my husband? Like, what will keep me healthy that when I go to church, I get excited about what you're doing? You know how many pastors I've worked with that said, man, when I got into the ministry, I was so excited. Just not excited anymore. Or I don't read the word for myself anymore. Or I'm burnt out. Guys, that is the outcome of every person in ministry if you don't do something drastic. Take on Jesus' yoke, and what did he model for us? He did ministry, and then he pulled away. One morning, they were like, where is he? He's gone. He pulled away to feed his soul. And if he had to do that, how much more to you and I. Cost is great. But the reward for those who are teachable is even greater. Because God hasn't done anything yet in your life compared to what's to come. He's done some big things. But greatness is on the other side of your obedience. Let me pray for you guys real quick before we end. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, just for your truth, your word. Lord God, I thank you for your direction in our lives. Lord God, may we learn from you, take on your yoke, Lord God, and walk in step with you and not expect you to walk in step with us. Lord God, help us to build healthy ministry margins so that ministry doesn't wipe us out, but it fills us, God. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd be our source and not people. Not even the analytics we see in ministry, Lord God. But you are our source of our worth and our value. We place our faith and our trust in you, God. Bless each ministry leader here in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was great.